Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
It's Andy's Girls. I just watched the Beverly Hills premiere for the second time and the after show. And I have to tell you, I was thinking I was going to record this earlier in the week. Didn't happen. Didn't get a chance to watch the premiere. So I watched it actually the day after it aired on Wednesday. And I was going to record an episode just kind of like, you know, doing the thing that I do on AG. Sharing some thoughts. And I didn't really have great ones. I was honestly underwhelmed. And then I honestly had a conversation with myself for about 3 seconds where I said, Auntie Sarah, I think you need more time to cook. And so I gave myself a day to cook because I recognized that I didn't think I was in the right like emotional space in which to talk about Beverly Hills, where you just have one of those days where you're like, things are not coming together. I was having one of those days, and it's not that I was distracted while I was watching the premiere, but I think I came in already deflated. And sometimes if you're having a weird kind of emotional day and you watch an episode of Housewives or Bravo or anything else, it's obviously going to have an impact. At least it does for me. Not always, but certainly on this occasion, I recognized in myself that like I needed a day to cook. So I waited 24 hours, rewatched the episode, really enjoyed the episode, and then just watched the two-part after show. Now, if you haven't seen the premiere episode of Beverly Hills, and honestly, if you have, you must immediately watch the after show. This is a bad take. I'm going to say this immediately. I sort of feel like you need to watch part one of the after show before watching the premiere. And I say that noting like that's a terrible piece of guidance. But I do think it also helps somewhat to have the framing in your back pocket of more information about why the cast wasn't surprised about Dorit and PK's announcement regarding their separation. Because when I was watching the premiere episode, there was something about the way that Dorit was like delivering the information to Erica, where it wasn't that she was too casual about it, but there was something that felt like she was almost a spectator speaking on behalf of her separation and not inside of it. And I'm thinking to myself, am I like projecting onto her that I want her to be more emotional because that's how I feel like I would be delivering that information to someone? Entirely possible. But there was something about it where I was like, okay, she's telling us this happened a week ago, but she's talking about it like it happened 6 months ago. So what the fuck is going on? Then I watched the after show after watching the premiere episode twice in 24 hours. And the way the cast was talking about the like rumors about PK having a hotel room at the Beverly Hills Hotel, I think that was the hotel, at the Beverly Hills Hotel, which sidebar, Jennifer Tilly's performance on the after show is one for the ages. Like EGOT level performance for someone's premiere after show appearance. Like the way she was just so quick to be like, how could he even afford a hotel room there? This woman, she's a professional. We know she is. She's an accomplished, phenomenal actress. But just the way that she, the ease that she has in saying stuff, the quickness, because on Beverly Hills, oftentimes they're on a 10-second delay. They're watching each other. They're not saying how they really feel. Jennifer Tilly's energy is exactly what we need. It's very different from Kathy Hilton's, but they're both, I think, astounding friends of Kathy historically, and I think Jennifer Tilly specifically this season, giving the performance of a lifetime already. I'm like 100% in. But that does help matters. Like to hear the cast talk honestly about the fact that, like, for example, when Dorit said at the last reunion in January, months before the May separation announcement, we're better than ever, and the cast not just giving each other side glances like they did at the reunion, but now saying honestly, like, no, there had been bad shit for a while. I'm not saying Dorit was being dishonest during the premiere, but I still think she was being withholding. Like, I don't think I'm going to get it, but I would love some sort of, like, PK was at the hotel for X number of months kind of thing. We might get that, but because we didn't have it during the premiere, I felt like there were some elements here of relating to the separation, which is obviously, I think it's intended to be the explosive moment, or like the moment coming out of the premiere, the fact that Dorit and PK are separating, breaking up, or you know, separating. I don't know what's going to end up happening with them, nor do they. But the fact that that split is taking place, I think, is supposed to be the moment that's like the groundswell kind of shift. But for me, it wasn't that at all. For me, it was like, yes, this is surprising information, even though some of the energy here, I don't feel like it's, I'm not seeing it in the episode. But the energy that I am seeing is everything Dorit and Kyle. Okay, I have some thoughts. I have some thoughts and some things that I have to say. And I just want to say, as general background, even though I feel like if you've listened to a minute and a half of an Andy Scrolls episode, I've probably mentioned Kyle. Kyle is in my top five. I love Kyle. I love Kyle's relationship with her German Shepherd. I love Kyle's the tenor and tone of her voice. I understand. I feel like I have a connection to Kyle, specific to her relationships with her sisters and growing up in a very dysfunctional family situation. I connect with that a lot. There's stuff about, I appreciate and connect with Kyle at points in which I feel like she's been misunderstood. And I think she's a really strong beta. She's one of those OGs who I think could last forever. She really, truly has, like, to me, a Supreme Court style lifetime appointment where it's going to be up to her of whether or not she's going to leave the franchise. I don't think the franchise will ever leave her. I think it's entirely going to be up to, like, Kyle saying, I need a break, or I got a skadoodle. I don't think I could ever see her as a friend of, but like, I think it's entirely up to Kyle. I love Kyle. Kyle is in my top five. Noting that, again, love Kyle. I couldn't be more team Dorit. Now, this is somewhat of a shock to me. First off, I couldn't have hated this woman more based on her performance last season alone. Dorit was like a trigger for me. By the end of the season, I was like, you can truly go fuck yourself. I don't like you at all. I felt like she was being manipulative at points. I hated her treatment of Garcelle. I honestly, days ago, recorded a Patreon OG of the, not OG of the AG, People's Couch style episode where AGs can record a Patreon episode with me. It was almost 2 hours long with a Bravoholic named Medi. Shout out Medi. And one of Medi's conversation points that he wanted to bring up on this episode that you can listen to now on the AG page is the fact that he has Dorit in his top five. And I was like, LOL, love that for you, but I hate her. So the fact that And it's not that I like hate her. She just annoys me in a way. And I feel like sometimes she plays dumb in a manipulative way. Excuse me. Thursday night words and feelings. And she's just really pissed me off where I just feel like, eh. And, you know, sometimes her performance has been lacking. And I felt like there was no way she would be back for another season. And then the PK stuff happened and whatever else. And, you know, they decided to bring her back. I just kind of felt like her performance this season is going to be, it's going to feel desperate because I know she needs the check. And there's so much about her life, the financial stuff that hasn't been revealed. Anyway, while I can certainly appreciate Dorit through the years, more recently, I have not connected with her or necessarily enjoyed her, even though, of course, she remains a curio. Then I watch the premiere episode and I'm like, this bitch, I'm riding so fucking hard for this season. I can't even tell you. It's like all gloves are off Dorit. I thought Dorit was going to come in and like be an agent of chaos for the sake of being an agent of chaos because many, not everybody, but many of us kind of felt like she was on her way out and she was clinging to that check like no other. And I can appreciate clinging to a check, let me tell you what. But I felt like none of her actions wouldn't feel real. I couldn't feel like her frustration with Kyle is more real if I tried. I think it's one of the realest moments of upset and anger that we have seen on Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills has been really fucking easy. And I get it. At big asterisk. The asterisk's name is redacted. Morgan Wade redacted. Big asterisk. Kyle has been through some shit plus Mauricio. So I get it. But Kyle, and putting aside the sister stuff, huge, putting aside, when it comes to Kyle's relationships with the women on the show, she has been in a really good position for a while, and she's taken advantage of it. And I don't begrudge her for some of it, but I have said for more than a minute that while I love Kyle, she's a strong beta, she's not an alpha. The show does its worst work when everyone considers Kyle to be the one who deserves the crown and she's too holy for anyone to approach. And I think Kyle is best when she's, or at least it's most interesting for me to watch when there's like some kind of energy going on with her versus someone else. When it was Kyle v. LVP, I was 100% not hashtag goodbye Kyle. I was like, hello, you know, shalom means hello, goodbye and peace. I was two of the three with Kyle, Richards, Umansky, Richards again. I love Kyle, but I think she does great work when she's, I don't even know how to say it, under attack. I don't know what to tell you. There's some sort of the friction when Kyle is against someone to me is like really engaging entertainment television. It just so happens that when it comes to this shit with Dorit, I understand and agree with honestly everything that Dorit is saying. And I get it. Sarah, Auntie S, how can that lady in the clothes, how can that make sense because you love Kyle? And let me tell you what, number one, I love complicated people. Number two, even though I skirt some of it sometimes with Shannon, nobody in my top five is someone, I'm just not the kind of person who's like, you're my idol. I'm never going to criticize you ever again. I'm not that person. If I stand in that way, the only person I can think about where I genuinely am like, you're perfect is Pedro Pascal. There's nobody else truly on the face of the planet right now who I think is like a perfect idol where I think the joke is like, I will never see anything wrong about you ever. And you're my one true love. Amen. With Kyle and with other housewives who I have in my top five, often their imperfections are what attract me to them as a Bravo Leb, where I connect with that. I connect with the nuance. With Kyle, I do think she can be manipulative. And the difficulty, I think, for Kyle now is that Kyle is still treating herself like an underdog, and she's not. She has been in a power position on this fucking show for a while. She can treat herself and has been able to successfully and effectively treat herself as an underdog in the dynamics with her sisters, including many moments where she's been on the outs and it's been like two against one. She can do that. But with Dorit, it's a really tough sell. And I'm watching Dorit express her anger. And this is why you have to watch the after show. Couldn't more recommend it on Bravo's YouTube. Two-parter. But there's something about, you know, Kyle obviously not recording the after show in Dorit's presence. She's recording with Erica. Dorit's recording with Bose, who I hopefully will get to. Icon, queen, obsessed. And actually, sidebar, let's get to it now. The Dorit, Bose energy and chemistry, I'm 100% into. I really thought that everything Dorit was going to do this season, I just kind of came in and I just had a feeling like I don't feel like her energy is going to be real. And the connection that she has with Bose, you see it in the moment that they meet. There's just like a friendship attraction that they have to each other and with each other. Their energies feel complementary. You see it on the after show. There's just an ease and a rapport that they have with each other that to me just honestly does not feel strategic. It feels like these are two people who met and genuinely get along, and I fucking love it. I want to see that. And I want to see Kyle get closer with Erica Jane, because honestly, like, who else does she have? And Sutton and Kyle are repairing their shit. And then you have Jennifer Tilly, Sutton, and Garcelle in this like beautiful trio where they can shoot the shit, talk things through. They don't have identical opinions. Jennifer Tilly certainly has different opinions than Sutton and Garcelle do at points on the after show, but I fucking love it. Like, we're watching actually a relatively evenly stacked cast right now. And the fact that Kyle is going to have to lean so hard on Erica is interesting to me. Like, that's an interesting new dynamic. But when it comes to what Dorit is saying about Kyle and Kyle being more in line with like manipulation versus miscommunication is something that deserves to be heard. I agree with her. And there are several points to be made. So I pulled up some receipts. First off, we have to talk about the text message. Kyle says more than once that Dorit sharing or talking about the text backstage at the reunion that Kyle had sent to her the night before in late January, before they recorded last season's reunion. She says it's like the most underhanded thing that anyone has done on the show, on the franchise. Obviously, that's not true. To me, obviously that's not true. Now, on the after show, Sutton and I think to a certain extent Garcelle kind of agree with Kyle that, or more maybe Sutton than Garcelle, but that the reveal of the text, Dorit sharing that is too much. That like, while I think Garcelle says that, yeah, Kyle could be manipulative in sending that, it's a conversation Dorit should have had with Kyle off camera. Totally disagree. I think Kyle sending that text message to Dorit after months of not speaking the night before the reunion, Kyle saying, oh, this is private information I didn't want to have shared on camera. I believe you there, sweetie. But you were sending it to her the night before the reunion for a reason. You wanted her to stay quiet. Now, I'm not saying she didn't have genuine feelings of like concern and affection for Dorit and their friendship and wanted to work on it. I'm sure she did. But also she didn't want to air it out on camera. Sweetie, we are 1700 episodes into this goddamn franchise and we have gotten too used to the Fox Force 5 staying really fucking quiet. And this is the season that this franchise has a little bit of a turn into like, God forbid, a little bit of the karma to certain people in the Fox Force who got really fucking used to having an army. Kyle is looking for, and I'm still behind on Potomac, but I swear to fucking God, I'm catching up this weekend. Kyle wants to have the kind of army that Karen Huger mentioned at the beginning of the season. Karen wants soldiers. Well, so does fucking Kyle. And she used to have them in the Fox Force where they were united. Lisa Rinna wasn't going to say fucking shit when it came down to it. Teddy Joe, are you kidding me with her head so far up Kyle's ass? I can't even. It's like, who needs to do colonoscopy prep after that? Like,
Kyle has the sister in Teddy Joe that she always wanted, someone who will never turn on her, who has her ultimate trust forever and ever. Amen. And who doesn't want to have the paradigm of ethical decisions, Teddy Joe, in your corner? You know, they have their like great bonding forever and ever, amen, sisterly relationship. And I love that journey for them. But also, Kyle has gotten really fucking comfortable on this show. And it's high time that someone called her out.
The number one thing that my mom wants is for me to connect with the son of a woman who sold her a couch. The number two thing she wants is for me to, obviously, give her a call and find a way to keep our memories close. So luckily, this holiday season, I have given her the gift of an Aura digital picture frame. It's another amazing way to stay in touch. I live in New York City. The fam lives in RI. And while my mom wants me to visit every day if I could, there are ways to keep us connected. And of course, I've been known to send my mom throwback pics of us, Jeff and I as kids, nights that my mom and I have had out here in New York when she's come to visit. And I know that those memories are meaningful. Aura Frames was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. And Fast Company said the simple, stylish digital picture frame can replace social media in your life. So the next time you need to call your mom, BCC the Tobes, you can also send her a new pic of you from that trip you're telling her all about right from your phone. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames by using promo code AndysGirls at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code AndysGirls. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
And so the, you know, text obviously becomes this thing that Kyle mentions over the course of the premiere episode and over the course of the after show as like, this is the ultimate, wildest, most vengeful act that a person could make who I think of as a friend. Like, this is the biggest thing that a person can do, noting that there have been some things that Kyle has done on Housewives from you know, a limo at the end of season one. I'm not going to, you know, say she's like the devil for stuff that she's done, but she has done complicated things that deserve critique and discussion, observation, analysis. She's done things before. So for her to say that Dorit revealing this text message that I do believe was manipulative, sent to her to counsel Dorit or guide her into shutting the fuck up at the reunion, for Dorit to reveal that, if you think of Dorit's feelings in the matter, she's getting this text after months of Kyle not approaching her until the night before the reunion in this very long text. It's hard for me to see that as anything other than a way for Kyle to get what she wants during the reunion day and to hide maybe aspects of their dysfunction and a certain level of pressure on Kyle during the filming itself. Okay, so let's actually, shall we read the text together? Because I need a refresher. So I just screenshot it. Thanks to Bywig Hello Drama, who posted this originally on Instagram, which made it very easy for me to grab. Okay, so here's the text that Kyle sent to Dorit Thursday, January 25th at 10:21, I assume, p.m. Hi, I've been trying to reach out because I know we are in a weird place and it really bothers me. And it's not even on the show. I wanted to explain where I am at and why I have been distant, but my hands were tied. Of course, some interview comments hurt my feelings and created more issues for me, but I'm used to that and could get past it in time. I also reminded myself that you didn't know what I was going through with Mo at the time for most of these remarks. But then I heard some things that you said about me off camera that hurt me deeply, and I wasn't even able to say what I heard or from whom. It was one of those things where I wished I just didn't know at all because I wasn't able to share. And yet I was left hurt and couldn't even try to work through it with you. Does anybody understand what she's saying? And I know you will be frustrated and want to know what and who said it, but I can't. It's as frustrating to me as it will be to you. Trust me. I have gone through such a hard time, Dorit. I've been in so much pain I can't tell you. Never have I felt so low. I believe Kyle in this 100%. And I know you're also going through hard time. Parentheses, sick, like grammatically incorrect. Normally, I would have reached out to check on you, but I was hurt and very depressed. I've spent 30 years with Mo, married 28, and I have no idea how to live without him or how to navigate through life on my own because I have so much on my plate for tomorrow, and I know you do too. I love you, PK, and your kids so much. I've been thinking about you a lot and hoping you aren't struggling too much. I don't want to lose someone else in my life over a TV show. They don't even know we are going through a hard time, so I don't see the need to bring it up there. I should have said something sooner, but I honestly haven't been strong enough. But relationships and you are more important to me than Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I don't feel like bringing it for the at our expense, especially when we have enough battles to handle as it is. Anyway, I would like to sit down and talk after we get through tomorrow, maybe have lunch or dinner when you can. If you want to talk before tomorrow, I am around. I would give anything not to go and have to do this. I don't know how much longer I can do this show. It's so toxic and creates so much anxiety for me. Anyway, let me know if you want to talk. XX. Okay, so listen, I'm not negating Kyle going through a lot last season. She went through a fucking ton last season. The Mauricio of it all, huge effect on the kids, huge. The death of her best friend for, I think, over 30 years, a ground shaking, upsetting, tragic. I mean, there aren't enough words a person can use. I'm not in any way. She's in my top five. I love Kyle Richards, Umansky Richards again. And so I'm not taking away from any of that. But that this text message of like, they don't need to know what's gone on off camera. Also, some things have happened off camera that I can't tell you about involving people that I also can't name. You just have to trust me, have had an impact here. It's so cagey and clouded. And to me, the intent here is to say to Dorit, We can handle this off camera. It will be too late if it's handled on. But Kyle is in a power position. She doesn't have the kind of pressure on her that Dorit did in that moment. Noting the pressure that Kyle was under, I'm not taking, and the Morgan Wade of it all, I'm not taking any of that away from her. But Dorit is in a different employment status position than Kyle. Kyle has so much more obvious seniority and power on this show than Dorit does. Dorit is less valuable previously, certainly the last couple seasons, than Kyle is for this show. So to say to someone, I know we're going through some stuff, I really need you not to discuss it on a reality TV show that focuses on conflict and conflict resolution. I need you to do me a solid because we're good friends and shut the fuck up, even though I haven't sent this to you until the night before the reunion. And she's saying to her, I assume again it was sent at night, but I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was, but I don't know for sure. At 10:21 a.m., but probably p.m., and you know, like, you can call me if you want to talk about it at 10 o'clock at night, the night before the reunion. What would have happened if Dorit walked on that stage, everything was fine and good, and Andy asked Dorit what's going on? How do you think that would have gone if Dorit said, well, we talked about it and we're fine? How would that have gone for these people at the show? It would have negatively impacted Dorit. And if you receive a text message that you feel like is manipulative while you're still filming a reality TV show about your fucking friendship and maybe lack thereof or tension, and you're telling me it's too much to share that text message on camera, if Kyle had sent it maybe weeks prior, let's have that conversation. But she didn't. The timing was intentional. She ran out of time. I'm sure she was avoiding it. Lord knows, if I was in Kyle's position, I would have been avoiding that shit too. Another thing, Kyle, Richard Zemanski, Richards again, and I have in common. But that doesn't mean it's not manipulative. And it doesn't mean that Dorit wouldn't have the right to discuss it. That's number one. Number two, whatever the fuck happened at BravoCon, I'm deeply confused. Over the course of, and I watched the 60-minute version of the premiere and the 75-minute version of the premiere, at both points, it felt like the editing around BravoCon was focused on this moment of filming for Watch What Happens Live. I think it was doing the, like, was it like a plead the fifth kind of thing where you have to take a shot if you don't want to answer the question? I think that's what it was, the setup. But there was a shot of something. Dorit was asked to rank the Richards sisters. And then Kyle, I think, was gesturing to her like a funny LOL moment, inadvertently, accidentally spilled the shot, liquid, whatever it was, on Dorit. And Dorit said, as a joke, well, Kathy's number one. Directly referencing the fact that Kyle had inadvertently spilled liquid over her during the filming. Kyle understood in that moment why Dorit was saying it and laughed. So did Dorit. Then on the after show, Kyle is mentioning something else that happened at BravoCon. I was at BravoCon. I did a quick Google. Google didn't help because it was all referencing stuff from the premiere. So I don't remember what it was that Dorit was saying, I guess, about PK, not PK, I guess about Mauricio at BravoCon, but Kyle mentions that during the after show, but that's not a part to my knowledge. I might have missed it, honestly. I genuinely might have. That's not what I felt like she was saying during the edited premiere. The edited premiere made it feel like the text was a big fucking deal. She said some shit on Watch What Happens. And the BravoCon thing was the final straw because it was so rude and disrespectful and hurt my feelings. And then she references the ranking more than once, but that throwback clip of it doesn't help Kyle at all because it feels like a joke. And again, Kyle, to me, is playing underdog, which does not work in this dynamic. If there's an underdog here, I guess you could argue it's Dorit, but I don't think underdog is even the right term in this context. I think it's the soldier, genuinely, who's like, I'm done now. I have pledged allegiance to you for so many years. This is an uneven relationship. You get away with a lot. I get away with nothing. You're holding a fucking grudge. Your expectations to me are absolutely insane, and I'm tired of it. It's something that Kyle mentions on the after show that Dorit does as well. Death by a thousand paper cuts. I genuinely think that's what is happening. And I think Kyle feels like Dorit is not the loyal friend she is supposed to be. But then I think about that and I'm like, Kyle, your whole argument in response is that you and Dorit aren't as close as what we have been led to believe you are for many seasons. So what does that mean about your relationship if it only exists on television? That's one of the big problems with Beverly Hills, or has been historically for a minute, that like the Fox Force, all this other shit has been really, really focused on being friends strategically on the show to protect each other, but not necessarily IRL. So if you were popping Dorit's balloon by saying, well, we weren't that close anyway, she's misrepresenting how close and loyal we are, were to each other, and how much time we're spending with each other and the kind of allegiance we have with each other, then why are you so fucking mad at her? You can't have it both ways. You can't say, this is, I am so upset because my close friend has turned on me. And also the other side of your mouth say, well, we weren't that close to begin with. Then what does Dorit owe you? It's unfair. It's lopsided. I am team Dorit. She's not in my top five. She's not in my top 10. Do I currently have a work visa to temporarily stand? Oh, I very well might. Stamp that in my fucking passport. I don't know what country it'll be because Dorit is technically the UN. All the accents gathered around in one building. But I understand her. I understand her perspective. I understand what it is that she's trying to communicate. And I think, honestly, apologies to Kyle, it works on several levels. I really genuinely do. I think the issue here is Dorit is not Lisa Vanderpump. And Kyle is playing the same situation with herself in the same role, but the tables have turned. I really do. I don't think it's a question of only miscommunication, although I do think miscommunication is present here. I do also think manipulation is happening. And one of the areas where I think I see a little bebe manipulation is at the end of the episode. I don't think it's in the 60 minutes, but it's in the 75 minute version where Kyle says, like, you don't seem like yourself, because certainly she hasn't been in a situation where Dorit has necessarily expressed this kind of anger at her. But the way that Kyle has the ability to turn things, where she, I felt like she was being manipulative in that moment, where she's saying to Dorit, you're not yourself. I've never seen you this upset before. Who are you now? Where it feels like Dorit is doing something wrong because she's actually vocalizing and communicating some level of frustration that she has had for more than a fucking minute. I felt like this is real Dorit coming out. I feel like, I don't know, it's some level of freedom, of being more open now than she ever has been about issues that PK and she have had, that she and PK have had. I don't know if it's just the cycle that she is in life. She's obviously gone through significant trauma, the diagnosis of PTSD, her journey in therapy, which we've seen a lot about on the show. She is a changed woman. She has grown. Things have happened to her. She has worked through them. She's not necessarily going to be the Dorit that she was three seasons ago, nor should she. Things have happened in her life that have impacted her. I mean, normalize and change your mind based on new information. I don't know if this is an example of new information or just somebody looking at the history of her relationship with someone and saying, you know what? The way our roles have worked in our friendship no longer work for me. I'm resetting the map. The things that I have done for you previously, I'm not going to do again. Or at least I'm going to communicate to you the reasons why I'm mad I was put in that position to begin with. And it wasn't equal. It was an unequal relationship. And I don't want to have it anymore. And Kyle, in that moment, being like, don't be aggressive with me. No, no, no. That's not how this works. That's not actually how conflict resolution should work, I would argue. If someone is feeling upset and they haven't felt heard, we need to listen to some of that anger. You need to sit in a little bit of discomfort here. You don't have to agree with it. But to say that Dorit isn't allowed to express anger and that her expressing anger means Dorit's not interested in moving forward with her friendship. Well, obviously she's not interested in moving toward past roles, but you can't say that she's entirely disinterested in moving forward. But she has the right to express how she's feeling, and skipping over that is a very Richards tactic. We've seen it. These sisters, I mean, hello, what we have seen over the years of what they cover up because of God only knows the dysfunction that existed through their childhoods, young adulthoods, where it felt like they were not in environments or positions where they could be honest with each other about each other's lives, their relationships to each other, frustration that they've had. I've never seen them really, truly in a long-standing dynamic where they have felt comfortable being honest and forthright with each other that has lasted. So Kyle getting into this position of like, oh, no, don't be aggressive. I can understand not wanting to be shouted at. I'm not saying I would love it. But the fact that it's turning into like, Dorit, something is wrong with you because you're behaving differently, to me, doesn't pass the smell test. And Kyle's interest in moving forward and not getting into some of the yucky, negative, toxic stuff, maybe because she doesn't want to do that. She just wants to move forward. Of course she does. I would want to do it if I was Kyle, too. Skirt around any kind of major accountability where you might look bad or feel bad or any other kind of bad and go straight back into something that's all smiles. Beverly Hills has been able to get away with not an awful lot for a while. Kyle has ridden and that wave and gotten away with shit. So has fucking Dorit. So for there to be a moment of accountability for Dorit to not necessarily like look great, quote unquote, and really be honest with some feelings of frustration, especially if we're not necessarily going to see that with PK. Is it totally fair to Kyle? Possibly not. But this is also where we are in this dynamic. This is what happens when you have this kind of unequal, inequitable relationship that in many ways was framed around some sort of like strategic dance on Beverly Hills where they were in arms with each other. You know, things looked great. They looked really close. It worked to Kyle's benefit and Dorit's for a while, and it no longer does. And Dorit's like, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
The Amazon Live, Kyle saying, well, that was, you know, to get back at stuff that you had said, talking about the friendship that was exaggerated. Again, what does that say then about what Dorit owes you? What does Dorit owe you? It feels like her treatment of Dorit, circling back a year and a half ago, however fucking long ago it was, to the fact that they were having a reunion, you know, Kyle and Kathy, excuse me, post-pneumonia off, Kyle and Kathy are getting into it. Dorit interjects, as she does often, trying to kind of see some middle ground. Kyle gets mad and snaps back. Obviously, as Kyle has said to Erica, to us, etc., she did not like that moment and sure was using it against Dorit. The problem there is that I think it backs up Dorit's argument, which is there is a level of loyalty that Kyle expects of some of her friends that is deeply unfair. If Kyle is arguing I can't go against my sister. She's too powerful. There's too much. I'm going to be punished for it. Her expectation that her friends self-sacrifice on her behalf is really unfair. You're saying to us and your friends that you can't go against this woman because you're afraid. What if they are too? What if they're facing consequences, maybe socially or otherwise, that they don't want to get into? Kyle wanted to have an army of soldiers, and that was more important to her, I think, than coming to a point of resolution with Kathy. And maybe it was too complicated at that moment. I get it. I understand it. Obviously, we can't go back to Aspen. We simply can't go back. But Kyle's expectations of Dorit is not equal to Dorit's expectations of Kyle. What Kyle is willing to... Kyle wants to have Dorit either sacrifice things or give her certain things that Dorit isn't asking of Kyle. It's just not equal. I don't know. I watched the premiere episode, and the second time that I watched it, I was like, see, this is why you needed to cook. I needed to watch it a second time. The second time I watched it, I was like, this is much more enjoyable. I have more things to say. And then watching the after show, I was like, buckle the fuck up. And also Kyle says at one point, about the text being revealed, she says, my good friends have never done this ever. Here's my follow-up to that. Here's my quasi-rebuttal response. Who are you good friends with on the show? My good friends would never have done this ever. Based on what? What good friends? Kyle has a ton of good friends off camera. God love her. I do think she's a girl's girl. Like, I love that. Love that energy. Love to see her having friends with people since childhood. Listen, she and Faye Resnick has been loyal to each other forever. So I don't know if she's thinking of Faye. I mean, that's me honestly throwing a bone in there for Kyle, because I don't know. She's just throwing shit out like, my friends have never done this ever. But who have you been good friends with on the show? That circles back to, well, you've been good friends with seemingly for a while, Dorit. Who were you good friends with before that? Taking out Teddy Jo Carrot. She's too busy fucking the horse guy. She's got other things. Before that, it was Lisa Vanderpump. So, I mean, are you saying that Dorit is less loyal to you than Lisa Vanderpump was? Who else are we talking about? Rinna? We never thought you were great friends with Rinna. So who else isn't? Erica Jane? Erica Jane's saying in the episode of Dorit, and I think maybe also Kyle, but that might be wrong. Like, I'm not even good friends with Kyle. I'm less close to her certainly than you are. So like, what the fuck are we talking about? Are you saying Erica Jane? Erica has other shit on her plate. She's not focused on fucking with Kyle. She's focused on like saving her own ass. Also, P.S., maybe unpopular opinion, I think Erica's going to have a good season. She's in a nice role right now. She can translate Kyle to us. It helps that they're not super close. Erica's also kind of straddling this dynamic because she's friendly with Dorit, too. I think it's going to be a solid season for Erica Jane. She actually also had a solid season last season, but I think it's going to be a solid one for her now. I actually think maybe this is going to go well for a lot of people. Obviously, Sutton and Dorit do not fuck with each other, so there's stuff looming there. But this Kyle situation with Dorit, Kyle feeling like she maybe doesn't know how to resolve this or move forward, and having obviously a level of frustration with Dorit, that's good TV for me. I'm satiated from that. I'm well fed off that. That's a like the plate on Dorit's head. That's a plate that we can serve a meal on for 16 episodes. Like, let's see the ins and outs of that. And also the fact that this premiere party is a part of the season long trailer. And the next episode, I assume, is Kyle and Dorit screaming at each other because Kyle had the deer headdress in the season trailer, means I think next episode's going to be gangbusters. I'm here for it. I'm here for Bose. I'm here for Jennifer Tilly. I don't know yet if I'm here for Amanda. I don't know how big a role she's going to have over the season. I do inadvertently have one of her Warby Parker glasses. She did a special collection with Warby Parker 150 years ago. They're very pretty, light pink. So good to see her. Haven't seen her in a minute. She's like an interesting personality type. I don't know how much she's going to be used on this show, but I'm curious about it. Like, the season was solid. I have barely talked about PK and Dorit because I think I genuinely think this season, the big separation is Kyle and Dorit. It's actually, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's solid. I think it's interesting. And also, I don't know exactly what to say about Kyle's decision to pull back in referencing Morgan's name. I don't know if it goes into the Streisand effect area of like, you try so hard to have us not focus on something that now we're focusing on it more. I do think it's slightly odd after this person signed a release to be on this television show that you're no longer sort of allowing us to comment on her name. I'm also confused as to what's going on with Kyle. I feel like there are points where she's like, I've shared more on the show than anybody else. And I'm just thinking like, but what are the specifics there? I'm still sort of confused as to what's happening with her and Mauricio. Although actually, honestly, and saying that out loud, maybe I'm not. I think it's donezo. Also, sidebar, Mo knew about the separation that was happening between PK and Dorit, obviously before the announcement went out. I think he communicated some aspect of that to Kyle. So she wasn't super surprised, I think, when the announcement came out. Also, Kyle and Erica reference the fact that like in Vegas or something, Dorit had talked to them about her marriage not being in a good place, but they hadn't asked her any questions. So they didn't ask her if like the rumors about him being in the Beverly Hills Hotel were true. So then this announcement comes out and Dorit talks on the after show about the fact that of the entire cast, only two people reach out to her. One was Erica Jane, and the if I'm remembering this correctly, and I just watched it, but it's entirely possible I'm not. And the other is Kyle. And Kyle had sent a text to PK, which we heard of on the episode. PK was really appreciative of it, said it was really wonderful, yada, yada, yada. Kyle was concerned about sending it to Dorit because she was concerned that Dorit was going to share it on TV. And so she called Erica to be like, should I send Dorit a text message? I'm concerned she's going to share it on TV or say that it was manipulative of me. And Erica's like, listen, nobody has reached out to her. Send her the text. And Kyle says on the after show, so I sent it because at the end of the day, essentially, I can't really control what Dorit does with it, but it was the right thing to do. And I do agree it was the right thing to do. But I also think this is either an example of Kyle's power or the amount of time that she's been on the show that she thinks like it's an abuse of Dorit's role on Housewives to have her potentially quote a text that Kyle has sent her in the middle of production about Dorit's own separation from her husband. That to me is not a sign of friendship disloyalty. This is a reality TV show. You guys are supposed to be friends or estranged or something else. If you're sending a text message to this person you're expecting absolute loyalty from about her own fucking marriage crumbling, and you think it would be a sign of disloyalty when you guys are on the outs for her to question whether or not it's manipulative, and that's stopping you from sending her a message about her marriage imploding and the amount of press attention and focus on that, which obviously Kyle knows something about because of what's happened with her and Mauricio, I just don't have a strong sense of what Kyle thinks is crossing the line, because she has A, either crossed that so many times herself, like BCC, the Denise Richards Accords. Like, come on. This is wild. The things that Kyle thinks is too much versus what she herself has been involved in against other people. It's so uneven, which to me makes her a fascinating reality TV personality. And someone who, yes, has been on probation in my top five before. Have there been seasons where I've been like, Kyle, this is a very bad season for you? Yes, I have been somewhat of a quote unquote self-anointed accountability coach, but she's still in my top five and I still love that bitch. Like, I love her. I love Kyle. I would not be a member of her army in the way that she assumes or demands a soldier act, but I love her. She would be, honestly, someone asked me this, or maybe we talked about that on a AG pod, maybe on a Patreon, I honestly forget, where it was like, who's your next dream guest on the pod? And I said, truly, genuinely, like, Shannon was the most important booking. It was like the most important episode of any episode that I recorded was having Shannon Bedour in my apartment in the Clawfus recording. It will never be that good ever again. That was like a dream situation. I couldn't believe it was happening. She's the most important Bravolev in my life. It's sort of the running joke thread. Hashtag I stand for Shan, but I truly do stand for Shan. So like the idea of who would I next want to have on the podcast, I didn't have an answer because I was like, I've already experienced Shannon. There's no one else. And then I thought about it and I was like, no, honestly, it's Kyle. I would love, skipping over Andrew, who is welcome anytime, I would love to have Kyle on the show. I love Kyle Richards. I love her. I feel a lot of empathy for Kyle. Absolutely. I feel like at points I can be a Kyle translator. But it doesn't mean she doesn't deserve to be accountable. And it doesn't mean that when it comes to Kyle v. Dorit, I'm going to automatically be on Kyle's side. And I'm absolutely not going to be someone who's like, no, they can't fight. We need them to be together again because I love them both. You can feel that way. God bless. But like, I also want to see interesting television. And this to me is fascinating because it feels like Dorit is burning the house down. Ma'am. Like, please continue. This is good. Like, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Anyway, circling back, Dorit and PK breaking up or whatever, separating. No comment on the decision for them not to tell their kids. I couldn't have less of an opinion on that. Defer to them. As PK said in a confessional, like, we know our kids better than anyone else. Dorit introducing PK being an alcoholic in the first 15 seconds of her conversation with Bose was a moment, but also these are people connecting. I would assume very strongly that PK and Dorit had some sort of conversation before filming about a level of transparency relating to PK being in recovery, PK's relationship with alcohol. I am assuming that PK and Dorit had that conversation. Also, if my memory serves, I think PK has been open about this on Instagram for a while. So it's not like Dorit is opening that door herself. Although I was surprised at how forcefully she was opening up about it. It felt like she was just saying, like, in her conversation with Kathy, who could not have been more shocked, like I think she used the phrase, like, raging alcoholic. Like, she was like, that might be the wrong term, so I apologize. But like, this is exactly where that situation is. I am hopeful that she and PK had some sort of conversation here, but also Dorit is allowed to have an opinion about her relationship, the dynamics with PK, and how alcohol affected their relationship and connection or lack thereof to each other, and his inability to hear her and his ability to go from zero and 100 to 100. It was interesting to me that, like, at the beginning of the episode, it's, we made the decision to separate, the Instagram post again, we made the decision to separate. And then later on in the episode, I think when she's talking to Kathy, she's like, yeah, this was more his decision than mine. And she has a confessional. I would have preferred something else. And then she starts naming shit where she was on his side and she supported him. The bankruptcy, the gambling debts, the quote unquote suspected DUI. She's referencing things in a way that makes me a little surprised, where I'm like, oh, Dorit's being more honest and open in these moments about some of their troubles. And the fact that she, and then we have the sit down with Mauricio and PK, where PK is like, you know, I stopped drinking and I felt more clear, where he felt like, you know, it's not that his decision to stop drinking, which he should be commended for doing, and the fact that he has a sober coach, he's taking this incredibly seriously, I'm sure, going one day at a time. Like, I'm really, really happy to see that with PK, someone I have a strong personal relationship with, because even though he never acknowledged his the paternity on Instagram after I tagged him numerous times. He is the namesake for my former, may his memory be a blessing, fish son, PK Kemsley Galley, Paul Kemsley Kemsley Galley, who was the love of my life for a year and a half. And yes, I did have a burial at sea where I played Judy Garland, Summer Over the Rainbow. And, you know, launched him into his next chapter. The love of my life, my sweet prince, my king. I don't even know if there are Instagram stories saved to highlights on Instagram, but there should be. And yes, I did have a Shiva and a funeral on Instagram with various posts and eulogies. So I love PK. I'm not saying he's not without criticism or blame. We've seen horrifying acts of his behavior previously on the show. But like, I love PK. I also think he's charming. I think he's funny. I think he's quick. God only knows the shit that he has put Dorit through. And stuff that Dorit has done to PK. I mean, like this whole question of living beyond your means. Who chicken and the egg here with like, who is doing the most there, the stress that they're under, I'm sure financially, and also his treatment of her, his seeming lack of curiosity and understanding and supporting her after she was diagnosed with PTSD, a lot of that, the throwbacks to the conversations with her therapist, it's cringe at points. But when it comes to his relationship with alcohol and that impact on their separation, the thing that I think was really important to hear was it wasn't his decision to stop drinking. He absolutely deserves recognition for and certainly support. Obviously, Dorit is supporting him in that. But the decision to stop drinking, his sense of like being clear-headed, it didn't mean that their problems went away. It just meant that he was in a different position to understand them. But I also think it's very important to acknowledge Dorit's feeling of like, I have stood by you at so many fucking moments. And the second that you feel like in this situation, it's turning in a different position and you want to fucking run and separate, I get her perspective there where she's like, I've been here for you. Why won't you be here for me? I think that's an interesting dynamic and something to unpack when it comes to their relationship and marriage. And also a lot of this happens to be kind of new information when we're no longer dodging rumors and speculation like she was even up until the very last reunion where she said to a response of nobody believing her and everybody looking slightly awkward, we're better than ever. Obviously, that wasn't the case at that point. I mean, we're not even getting into the fucking Beverly Hills Hotel anniversary dinner. What a shit show that was. I mean, there's a lot there. I wasn't against PK and Mauricio having their own solo conversation, even though Mo was giving such strange eye responses where I'm like, he talks with his eyes in a way where they're giving exclamation points, but I don't understand why the words aren't following. But I was here for it because they've had a bromance. You know, they've been close. I guess we could argue closer than Dorit and Kyle have been, but that's a whole other mishigas that we'll get into in the next several hundred years. I thought it was fascinating. There was a lot here to unpack. And I do want to circle back to something about Kyle that I mentioned before getting into 14 to 64 other asterisks, which is Kyle's conversation about, you know, shifting away from specifics relating to Morgan. She didn't sign up for doing the show. There's stuff here that I feel like Kyle, I don't know if it was the edit, it could have been, but there's stuff here that like Garcelle mentions on the episode and on the after show that I don't think Kyle has an answer to, which is some element of her playing coy with doing a very specific video with Morgan for her music video. Some stuff here, Kyle is kind of not really responding to, or that might have honestly just been the edit of the episode. But I do think Kyle deserves to have some space. She's figuring stuff out. But I think she's also, and when she was talking about Portia and like Portia hugging her and her fear that her kids would think less of her or be upset at her. And the fact that they accepted her, embraced her, and it was the proudest moment she's had as a parent was so emotional and beautiful. And I'm so glad it was a part of the episode. And, you know, I think that Kyle is figuring stuff out and she's not on the timeline of the audience. She gets to decide how she wants to live her life. And obviously there's some stuff here she's figuring out. But I think she's also attempting to say that she has, and I don't begrudge her for it, but she's trying to say that she's like shared more information about her relationship with Mauricio and her relationship with Morgan than she has. She hasn't gone into questions about Mauricio, rumors about Mauricio, extramarital, I don't know, lease acquisitions. I don't know what you would call it. Like, has he been stupping people? They bring questions about Mo for a minute. Like, we haven't really gotten into any of that. And it might be because there's nothing there to unpack. But it feels like at a certain point, Kyle's like, well, I've shared everything, so I don't need to say anything more. And it's a little bit of a dot, dot, dot of like, well, there are a lot of unanswered questions here. It doesn't have to be specific to Kyle's identity and sexuality. But there is room here to discuss things that Kyle thought was appropriate plot, BCC Denise and several other situations where she feels like it's unfair now. It doesn't mean she's wrong in a lot of this in saying it's not your business and it shouldn't be your focus. And I've dealt with too much attention, but also that grace was not afforded to many other people, including a lot of other people who weren't in the power positions that Kyle has been in with the authority relationships that she has on this network. I mean, Kyle is like centered. I mean, I'm not saying Kyle's alpha. She's really not. But she has, Kyle's like, I think maybe not. I don't know if you'd put her in like a masterpieces wing at, you know, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, if it was dedicated to like the greatest housewives of all time, but she's one of my favorite housewives of all time. She's certainly got a lot of very, very, very high value to the network and with the network. And also look at her career, like producing, she's acting, she's found tons of other ways to monetize. I mean, hello, Mauricio and the agency blew up because of his time on Housewives, his ability to, and I mean this in a positive way, like exploit. And he did what Bethany did. Bethany did it with Skinny Girl. Mauricio was able to do it, monetize the agency and have it explode. And obviously he works like a crazy person and has done very, very well for himself and deserves to be, I think deserves to be like applauded for that. Like, he's had a really successful career. God bless, et cetera, amen. There's also stuff there about his relationship and like not focusing on his marriage in the ways that he probably certainly, including on camera, promised Kyle that he would, that deserves to be unpacked. But I just think Kyle's approach to things doesn't necessarily, Kyle plays the underdog in ways that has not been realistic for a while. And it doesn't mean she doesn't have the right to say this is too much or things have been done that aren't fair or appropriate. She absolutely does. But also, this is like very specific history that's not taking into account how other people have been impacted, other things that became storyline and plot with a giggle and not even really a glance for people who were not in the kinds of positions of power that Kyle has with Bravo. I feel like there's so much from the premiere that I haven't gotten into. I don't even know what else there is to say. It was really, I'm just so glad I gave myself a minute to bake, honestly, because I think I would have recorded an episode where I would have been like, okay, there's some stuff here. But there was just something about watching it again, putting on my $22 Amazon robe, feeling my very best, and just kind of leaning in and having a little bit more of a different energy and watching the episode, which I think hopefully impacted having something to fucking say. I'm here for it. I'm ready for this season. Jennifer Tilly, can't more highly recommend watching her performance on The After Show on Bravo's YouTube. Truly a delight. And let's see what happens on the next episode of BH. Meanwhile, this week's New York, honestly, comment. Bad. I saw Ira Madison thread something, which is just the Instagram version of tweet, that I thought was really valid, which is like New York has, oh God, I'm going to fuck it up. So apologies to Ira. But it was like something in terms of like New York's back. It's boring again and not absolutely abhorrent, which I thought was very valid and true. Most recent episode. What a bad one. I'm sure I'll get into it. But if you're not watching this season of New York, honestly, congrats. But I'm now going to take a second and watch Salt Lake City and tonight's Orange County, because I certainly must catch up before I record AG Classic with one of my favorite guests in the AM. So I bid you adieu in the meantime. Let me know your thoughts and feels. I do have that two-part Patreon People's Couch episode with an AG up now. You can listen to that at patreon.com/AndySkrulls, nearly 2 hours long. Because I was honestly having so much fun. So I was like, I am not stopping this anytime soon because I have some follow-ups. And again, ironically, I had a lot of complicated feelings about Dorit that I expressed over the course of the episode. And I'm not taking it back after watching the premiere, but I am saying, oh my God, gingerly raises her hand, but not so gingerly, Team Dorit. So let me know your thoughts and feels, because that Satchel Spectacular that was ever so slightly delayed by a couple days is going up. So truly last call, which might include your Beverly Hills premiere reactions. Your Satchels of Gold are, of course, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor for holiness, Kelly Corn Ben Simone from Scary Island. You can slide into my DMs on Instagram. Please include your first name and town. And also, if you want to send me a thesis, you are more than welcome. Email andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. And of course, again, please include your first name and town. And they might be included in that long-awaited Satchel Spectacular, which will be up shortly. So thanks for your patience for that. And again, that two-hour, two-part People's Couch episode is up on the AG page, which again, patreon.com/andysgirls. And thanks so much for listening to this episode. Let me know your thoughts and feels about the Beverly Hills premiere. I thought it was a good one. I thought it was really, this, it's not like it's a zero fucks Dorit, but it's maybe 3 fucks, and she usually has 40. So this is progress. This is really progress. Regardless, I think, of how you feel about her, I personally just feel like the energy and tension between Dorit and Kyle is interesting, and it's different. We haven't seen it in a minute, and the biggest shock to me in watching the premiere was it felt real. I really thought Dorit's got so much baggage and making sure she has this check, especially because she and PK are separated, that it would feel like she was doing too much for the sake of staying on the show. And that's not the energy that I feel day one. So let's see how I feel day 5. Let's see how I feel in a couple episodes. But as of right now, I am fascinated. So a little bit of a to be continued, I guess, on me and Dorit. And again, may his memory be a blessing. Paul Kemsley, Kemsley Galley. Not PK Kemsley, but my fish son, my sweet, sweet prince. This episode is dedicated to him. Rest easy. And I do miss him. And on that note, I will chat with you. What a chaotic way to end. On that note, I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.